Chapter 10. Sergeant Luddick hurried down the main arterial. He bypassed the barracks where the off-shift armsmen were taking advantage of a 45-minute sleep rotation and carried right on in the direction of the lieutenant's personal quarters. A few feet from the turn where Reader's Corridor was situated, Luddick saw another armsman coming his way. At first, in the low and sporadic light, he thought it was the lieutenant, securing her belt, adjusting her breastplate and helmet. He was about to call out when he recognised Trooper Geraint. Luddick frowned as the two men met each other going in opposite directions.
"I thought you were on sleep rotation, Trooper," he asked.
"I am, Sergeant," Geraint replied.
"Couldn't settle. Warp insomnia. So I went for a walk." "Did it work?"
Geraint yawned.
"I hope so."
He went on his way.
"Rotation is almost over," called Luddick. "I'd best sleep fast then."
Confused, Luddick shrugged and carried on until he reached Reader's door. He knocked twice, hard with the side of his fist. He heard a voice from the other side, nothing distinct, just assorted murmurings. And then Lieutenant Reader opened the door.
"Forget something?"
Luddick swallowed hard. He had never heard the lieutenant speak in this way. She almost sounded playful. She also looked a little dishevelled, her hair slightly wild and her shirt and fatigues loose.
"Shit! Luddick, it's you! What the hell is it, Sergeant?"
Sorry, Lieutenant. I did not wish to disturb you. I realised you were still healing and...
Thrown out with it, Sergeant! Why are you here?"
"There has been an incident."
"What?" she scowled. "What kind of incident?"
"The Sanctum. Navigator Barfus. A squad went in to retrieve him. After what happened to Lord Arcadron, he's needed."
Reader's expression darkened, grew haunted.
"I know what happened to Arcadron. I was bloody well there."
"And so you understand then, Lieutenant? The Navigator..."
"Yes, I understand," she said, her irritation returning. "What I don't understand is why you're standing at my door."
"I have lost contact with the squad."
"And what do you want me to do about it? Where's Crafe?"
Luddick paled a little.
"The Colonel went in after Elam's squad. I haven't heard back from him either."
Reader frowned, the gravity of what Luddick was saying starting to settle.
"Nothing?
Just vox static."
"Could be interference. The Sanctum is Psi warded."
"I considered that, but no. The signal is live. There is simply no response. Either they won't answer, or they can't."
Reader paused, seemingly weighing up a decision.
"Shit,"
she muttered under her breath, reaching for her gear.
"Should I alert the Adeptus Astartes?"
Luddick offered.
"Absolutely not,"
she answered from behind the door. When she reappeared, she had fully dressed and was pulling on her flakweave vest. She'd already clipped on her belt, the power maul deactivated on its tether.
"I don't want them thinking we can't handle our own business." "We can deal with this,"
Reader added, slinging her combat shotgun on its strap over her shoulder and grabbing up her helmet and carapace breastplate.
"It's probably an equipment malfunction or power outage. Entire ship is susceptible."
"Of course, Lieutenant."
"Good. Now," said Reader, struggling with the breastplate, "help me get this damn thing on, and then I want you and four others with me."
"I saw Trooper Geraint just now in the corridor,"
offered Luddick, tightening up Reader's armour straps as she adjusted the fit.
"Fine," she said, not missing a beat. "Him and three others. Let's move."
The part of the ship that housed the Sanctum was all but deserted. A few lone servitors walked the decks, but other than that, not a soul stirred in the gloomy, echoing depths. The ceiling lamps flickered constantly, an irritating insect buzz grating at the senses before a plink of deactivation and then cooling silence. A second later, and the lights flared again, bright and angry. The sharp report of the armsman's footfalls resonated loudly, the sound magnified by a stark sense of isolation. A wall-mounted voxcaster crackled out static, Occasionally, the hiss and fizz of dead air coalesced into half-heard words and phrases. Just another gift of the warp, and another reason, if they really needed one, to fetch Barthas and get him back to his station on the bridge. After the repairs and the inevitable purges at the points where the ship had fallen under assault, the Emperor's will had been becalmed for weeks. The crew had suffered. Violent outbreaks and paranoid episodes had worsened. Most of that time, Rita had spent unconscious or recovering from her wounds. But she had heard stories. More scars had been stitched into her body. They itched like false flesh. The mental wounds went deeper still, her nightmares often taking the form of a hulking warrior encased in spiked armour, or a sickle-mouthed vagrant dragging the chains of his damnation behind him.
"Does it feel cold to you?" asked Rita.
"It feels cold."
She neglected to mention the figure in military dress she saw ahead, his face masked by the shadows. He never came with sleep. He only visited her during her waking hours, with the sort of frequency that Rita could not put down to fatigue or a trick of the light. Luddick nodded and blew out a plume of white vapour. He rubbed his hands together for warmth.
"It's usually hotter than this. The vents from the Enginarium feed into this section."
"Was it like this before?"
Rita asked, exchanging a brief glance with Geraint. He had three other troopers with him, Orin, Pasco and Carida.
"Not like this," Luddick replied. "I thought it might be a power outage, something related to the heat exchangers."
"Those furnaces keep burning in the event of a power outage," Rita countered. "They don't just go out if there's a turbine malfunction. And on a ship this size? That amount of heat? You're talking years."
"Sanctum up ahead,"
Geraint cut in, an autocarbine braced across his body.
"Is this a combat situation, Lieutenant?"
asked Pasco, an overly firm quality to her voice.
"I don't know what it is yet," Rita confessed. "The only weapons in the sanctum are whatever Crafe and his men took in with them. Even so, keep that flamer handy."
"Are we planning on burning out the Navigator?" asked Geraint.
"I hope not," said Rita, as they reached the sealed door to the sanctum. "But I'm not rejecting anything at this point."
The lights were out, so the armsmen turned on the lampacks attached to their weapons. Six grainy beams of pale light stabbed into the darkness of the sanctum and hovered in midair.
"Keep it steady," Rita said,
quietly but firmly, when she noticed Orin's lamp beam shaking erratically.
"Sorry, Lieutenant," he replied. "Oh, it's freezing in here."
Rita couldn't argue with that. She traced her glove fingers down the wall and left four mushy streaks in the glittering frost.
"Could be a heating malfunction," she murmured,
examining the white powder on her fingertips.
"There could be anywhere in here," said Geraint.
"Sanctum's not that large," Rita countered.
"Feels pretty large about now."
"I didn't think you were scared of the dark, Geraint."
"I'm not. I'm scared of what's in it," he said. "I'm just saying, Lieutenant. Crafe, Elam and the others came in here, and they haven't come out, so where are they?"
Rita listened, thinking. They had stalled about 20 feet beyond the threshold, loitering in a loose defensive formation, guns trained on the shadows. A corridor led into a vaulted atrium, which in turn led to the rest of the sanctum. This was the Navigator's domain, his expansive quarters aboard ship when he wasn't performing his duties.
"I heard he went insane,"
whispered Orin, as if to speak of it aloud was taboo or would turn the rumour into fact.
"He saw something he shouldn't have. It took a toll," said Carida.
"You know or you heard?" asked Pasco.
"Shut up," snapped Geraint.
"But..."
Pasco began to protest. Luddick turned and glared at her.
"He said shut up, trooper. It's good advice. Take it."
Rita agreed, silently impressed with Luddick's reading of the situation. A slow, metronomic drip-drip could be made out farther into the sanctum. Rita considered it might be the condensing effect of the heat exchangers trying to kick in and melting some of the ice.
"Luddick, try the vox again."
A sudden burst of static almost made her drop her shotgun, and she glared knives at Luddick, who raised a hand contritely.
"Just static," he said,
the hiss of the receiver proof of his words.
"The signal is getting through, though."
"Yes, Lieutenant."
"Then say something."
Luddick did. He stated his name and rank, then requested confirmation of message received. His voice echoed from somewhere deeper in the cold darkness.
"Follow it,"
said Rita, and Geraint led them out.
"Pasco, take the flank and keep that burner lit. Luddick, repeat the message every 10 seconds so we can pinpoint the source."
They got moving again, treading carefully but with more confidence now they had a plan. That confidence evaporated as soon as they found Colonel Crafe. A lamp beam strafed across him, slumped against the wall. He had come to rest in a large chamber. Part of the outer sanctum sat on his backside with his booted feet sticking out. Orin nearly tripped over them and swore.
"Get a light on him!"
snapped Rita, slinging her shotgun over her shoulder and sinking down next to her commanding officer. Corrida's beam alighted on Crafe's face. He cursed as soon as he saw what had become of it.
"Thrawn!"
hissed Pasco. Crafe had taken his own eyes. A blood-stained combat knife lay within reach, his arms by his sides. He'd taken off his patrol cap, which sat on his lap.
"Is he alive?"
asked Pasco.
"His lips are moving," noted Geraint.
"What's he saying?"
asked Pasco. Rita leaned in, suddenly aware that her breathing and her heart rate had increased. Ghostly white clouds were spilling from her mouth. She got as close as she dared, feeling the gentle touch of Crafe's breath against her cheek as she listened. She frowned.
"I? What?"
asked Geraint.
"He's just saying I, over and over."
She leaned back, trying to look at Crafe's mutilated face. Luddick's fear breathing was soaring through the Vox unit attached to Crafe's breastplate.
"Sitting hell, Luddick!"
Rita snapped, glancing over her shoulder. Luddick turned off the receiver, muttering an apology. Rita returned her attention to Crafe.
"Sir,"
she began,
"can you hear me? Sir, it's Lieutenant Rita."
Crafe didn't respond.
"Sir, it's Arna. Colonel, what happened to you?"
Still nothing. Pasco's flamer rumbled dulcetly, but provided no comfort.
"He's catatonic," she said.
"What could have made him like that?"
Rita got to her feet.
"Corrida, Orin, get the colonel out of here."
"Lieutenant,"
Orin began.
"Just obey the order, trooper."
"No, Lieutenant, it's..."
Orin was facing the way they had come.
"It's Parthos."
Orin's lamp beam fell on a huddled figure in dirty green robes.
"Oh, shit,"
hissed Pasco, bringing up her flamer. Geraint muttered something to her, and she backed down.
"Navigator,"
Rita ventured, lowering her weapon, her offhand outstretched to show she meant him no harm.
"I need you to come with us."
Barthas didn't move. Rita had never met him before in person. Barthas was a solitary creature and kept to himself. She knew little of his kind, save that navigators were mutants and incredibly highly valued by the Imperium. But this was him, she had no doubt. In the lumens, she made out a hooded cloak, its edges threaded with gold and fashioned into the sigil of House Barthas. Ornate chains rattled around his neck. His back was arched awkwardly. The navigator bent over, and practically on all fours. Gold hung from his ears in thick hoops, and a chain looped from left ear to nostril. Long fingers, festooned with glittering gemstone rings, ended in sharpened, golden nail caps that tapped against the ground in a manic tattoo.
"Why is he hunched over like that?"
asked Orin.
"Is he injured?"
"Barthas, do you know what happened to Colonel Crafe?"
asked Rita, ignoring him. The navigator jerked abruptly. His sudden weeping put the fear of the warp in Rita, who realized she might have made a mistake in drawing his attention to the stricken officer.
"Back!"
she whispered to Geraint and the others.
"What's wrong with him?"
said Pasco, her flamer back on high alert.
Just back up, hissed Rita. Give him some space.
Barthas shuffled forwards, clicking fingers leading the way. His robes parted, revealing a pair of silver bionics glistening wetly in the light. His legs, every step, resulted in a sharp, metallic clink. He appeared ungainly, as if walking on tiptoes, until Rita saw the bladed pinions he had in place of feet. Then something changed, and his entire body began to unfold like a hinged bracket, opening to its fullest extent. Long, reedy limbs hung down by his sides, gilded fingers loosely clicking together.
You must see, rasped the navigator. Holy Frone, said Luddick.
He was already backing up, his fear starting to override his sense of duty.
Should we try and stop him?
Rita felt a tendril of unease worm into her gut as she watched the whole transformation in slow motion. The lank hair, the pale skin, the...
Don't look at him!
She turned as she cried out, knowing it would already be too late. Pasco froze, petrified like an old tree, a vein throbbing agitatedly in her forehead. She slowly opened her mouth, like a screw had been turned loose and the jaw allowed to fall slack. And then she died. Not in blood or dismemberment, just died, standing there. A look of abject terror drawn horribly across her face.
Orin convulsed, clawing at his eyes, raking out the squishy sclera, his fingertips red as roses and wet and viscous as oil. He sank to his knees, burbling something under his breath, and fell forwards. He started shaking, teeth smashing against each other in his mouth, as loud as clattering shields. Corrida was faster. He turned and was saved from madness, but death touched him anyway. The plume of Pasco's flamer igniting brightly in the darkness, triggered as she died, a finger's rapid rigor mortis unleashing a tongue of fire that bathed Corrida utterly. He writhed, emitting a short-lived scream before his lungs were overwhelmed by heat and his mouth turned into a seared ruin. He collapsed, like a body suddenly without its skeleton, and laid down, gently burning to death.
Throne of shitting terror!
Geraint wailed, and the fact of it terrified Rita more than any of the grim spectacles before her. Geraint had spine. It was forged of steel. It's why she liked him. It's why they... To hear him so unmanned, it spoke to a primordial fear she now unwittingly nurtured.
Eye, Crafe had said. The warp eye, that which navigators used to negotiate the Empyrean Sea. To look upon it was to court madness and death, or so the rumour held. As she grabbed Geraint by the collar and ran, she knew the truth of that now, and begged for ignorance. She ran, and she heard Barthas running too, the bent-back scuttling of an arachnid, and not the natural gait of a man. Mercifully, the clacking refrain of his golden-silver claws receded. She rounded a corner, making sure Geraint got there too, put her back to the wall, and breathed. Corrida was still burning. The crackle of fabric, the smell of hair, and something like pig's fat in the air. She almost vomited.
He killed a man. He bloody well like killed them all stone dead.
Geraint wasn't handling it well. Rita wondered privately if he'd caught a glimpse, a reflection of something, perhaps. Did it work like that, or was it more like the Medusae of Terran mythic verse?
We're alive, she said. We're still alive.
Throne Reader, he just turned that thing on them.
He took a long, shuddering breath and seemed to regain some lost composure.
And then he fled, she replied. I don't think he meant to kill them.
Three bloody corpses, snapped Geraint. I can still smell that poor bastard Corrida. And I don't honestly know which of them had the worst end.
They were bad deaths.
No shit.
Compose yourself, trooper.
Geraint scowled.
Trooper? You heard me. Get a damn grip. If we stay here, he'll kill us.
He's lost his mind, Vanko, said Rita. and we need him. The ship needs him. We have to...
She stopped suddenly, as a thought occurred to her, and she looked out into the deeper darkness of the sanctum.
Where the hell is Luddick?